President Obama brought his balancing act to his talks with the Chinese about climate and energy as well. The president did not get an agreement with Beijing on cuts in greenhouse gas emissions, and that's one reason he acknowledged that there won't be a final treaty coming out of next month's global climate summit in Copenhagen. But the U.S. and China did agree to cooperate on a host of new energy projects, which the two sides hope will take a big bite out of carbon emissions. And some observers flag some subtle shifts in Chinese climate policy as well. David Biello is Associate Editor for Environment and Energy at Scientific American magazine.
The subtle shifts include China finally agreeing that they will in some way verify both what their emissions are and what their emission reductions will be, and the other subtle shift being that China and the U.S. will now stand behind kind of an international plan to cut greenhouse gases in Copenhagen in a few weeks. On the clean energy side, which is really where kind of the rubber meets the road, they have agreed to jointly develop China's natural gas potential, which is a great way for China to get a little bit less polluting. And then there were a whole host of other concrete agreements, including building better buildings that waste less energy, electric vehicles, clean coal, that came out of the talks yesterday.
Now, just talking about them as being concrete makes them sound significant, but why are these particular developments so important?
Well, the two countries, the U.S. and China, are responsible for 40% of the greenhouse gas emissions globally. That's almost, as you can tell, half the problem. So if China and the U.S. kind of get their act together on climate change, then significant progress has been made, even in the absence of any action by anybody else. And if you started to add just a few other countries to that mix, say Brazil and Indonesia, suddenly you've got over half the problem solved. And instead of having to corral 190-something countries into agreement, you only have to corral 4 or possibly 10, and you've solved most of the problem.
I mean, in making that point and argument, are you saying that it might even be better to do these kinds of agreements than to even tackle the kind of huge global scale of a Copenhagen, or do we still need both?
I think it's important to have both. I mean, obviously, climate change is a global problem, and just getting 10 countries to agree to do something about it, while that would be a huge and extremely significant first step in the near future, ultimately, everybody's going to have to agree to restrain their climate-changing emissions. I think we need both.
Given that you see what's happened as quite positive, and what the U.S. and China have done sounds good, but in an ideal world, what would those two countries still need to agree on in order to make a real dent in emissions?
What's still needed from them are concrete plans for how they plan to cut back on that 40% of greenhouse gas emissions. A lot of numbers have been kind of floated out there. President Obama is fond of mentioning 80% reductions by 2050. Of course, 2050 is more than 40 years away, and it's pretty easy to promise anything more than 40 years away when you're a politician. And the Chinese have not agreed to any specific reductions in their emissions. But these clean energy announcements, these actual programs, will do some of that by investing more in renewable energy, by investing more in nuclear power. And the focus of this agreement, by the way, far and away, is coal and figuring out how to deal with coal, putting carbon capture and storage technology into coal plants and making sure that carbon dioxide isn't reaching the atmosphere.
David, let's go back to Copenhagen for a moment. We've been talking about it a lot, and of course, expectations have been lowered for concrete short-term results from Copenhagen. But do you think that takes too much pressure off the U.S. Congress to actually enact climate change legislation?
I do. In the wake of the announcement, although it kind of revitalized international efforts, given that the U.S. and China have agreed that they are 100% behind the Copenhagen initiative, many U.S. senators came out and said, well, then we can delay this action on the climate bill until the spring. And given the political realities of the Senate, there's no guarantee that they will get to it in the spring either. Healthcare could take a lot longer, or the fact that elections are looming in the fall could drain some of the senators' inspiration to tackle climate, and taking the pressure off Copenhagen is probably not the best thing for inspiring political action in the Senate.
Scientific American's David Biello, thanks very much.
Thank you.